end of an era in Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger saying that he was retiring.
The Pittsburgh Steelers looking for the future at quarterback. Major breaking news, Mitchell Trubisky heading to the Steelers.
I'm a guy that thinks Mitchell Trubisky is talented enough to have a chance to be a good starter in the NFL.
The Pittsburgh Steelers select Kenny Pickett.
He has an opportunity to develop his familiarity.
It's going to be challenging from an organization standpoint. I'm excited about watching these guys compete.
So who's going to be QB1 in Pittsburgh? With OTAs this week, we get a glimpse at what will be one of the most interesting QB battles. Although Mike Tomlin made it very clear that no one's winning or losing the job in shorts in May. Of course, also, Ravens OTAs underway too. Adam Schefter is here with the latest on Lamar Jackson. He tweeted something just a little while ago that caught our attention. Plus, what's going on at the Browns facility? Questions swirling in their QB room. We'll get to all of that and so much more here today on NFL Live. And I talk about those questions. Well, we've got the man to give all the answers. That would be Adam Schefter. So, Adam, what is the latest from Browns OTAs?
Well, the Browns OTAs, Laura, is a situation where Baker Mayfield is not there for the start of the day. Deshaun Watson is, but no signs of Baker Mayfield right now as the Browns continue to hold out hope that they'll be able to trade Baker Mayfield. They've come to the realization that if and when they are able to trade him, that they'll obviously have to eat some of that $18.85 million in guaranteed money. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson getting acclimated to his new teammates. He's been in the Bahamas training with them. He's back in Cleveland. They're excited to be with him, and he's excited to be with them. Lamar Jackson, meanwhile, is not at the start of the OTAs today, but he is entering the final season of his contract right now, which is scheduled to pay him $23 million on that fifth-year option. He tweeted a short time ago, can't wait to get back. Obviously not there for the first day of OTAs. We'll see when he does come back, but obviously there are some Purple Hearts, some Rockets. He's ready to have a big season, needs a big season, because obviously he still doesn't have a new contract. And the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback competition is underway with their OTAs. Mitchell Trubisky, I think, goes into camp as the favorite, but Kenny Pickett is the first-round draft pick, the rookie with the upside. And if Kenny Pickett can develop and progress, he'd have a chance to unseat Mitchell Trubisky. But I think some people around the league believe that Trubisky goes into camp as the favorite to win that job, but we've seen plenty of rookies go into training camps before, light it up, and win starting quarterback jobs that some people thought they wouldn't in time for opening day.
Yeah, or even if it doesn't happen in opening day, it could happen throughout the season. Adam with us for the hour. Tim Hasselbeck is here, as well as Marcus Spears. Guys, let's dive right into it, starting with those Steelers. And Tim, you just heard Adam telling us Trubisky, the favorite going into camp. How do you see this playing out between Mitch Trubisky and Kenny Pickett?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that could be the case because of Trubisky's experience in the NFL. But, you know, how I think it will play out is you have Kenny Pickett, who's a first-round draft pick, who is older than every quarterback that was drafted in the first round a year ago. And he comes into the league with a ton of playing experience and exposure to, you know, pro concepts from his time at the University of Pittsburgh. And so, like, to me, Kenny Pickett wasn't a quarterback that was drafted because of upside. He was, you know, drafted in part because he was kind of ready to play. So the way I would expect it to work out is that Kenny Pickett is the starter sooner rather than later. And so if it is not week one, kind of as you alluded to, Laura, if it's not week one, I'd be shocked if it wasn't by the halfway point of the season.
Yeah, I can understand why Tim feels that way, obviously, because they drafted him, and that is the plan. But I think it's a little fly in the ointment, TH, and that's because Mitchell Trubisky is a guy that they went and got quick when he was available. And then, too, we heard about the progressions. We know about the situation that he was in Chicago, and no one thought that that was conducive to him having a sustained amount of success. Now, obviously, there's also the ugly part of Mitchell Trubisky play style and the things that he didn't progress with. But I think in this particular situation, when you think about what the Pittsburgh Steelers were able to do with Duck Hodges, and obviously bringing in, just having this whole Mason Rudolph as well, having this revolving kind of quarterback situation with Ben's health and trying to figure out who the guy would be, I believe, one, they're in a way better spot than they've been in, but also there's some momentum about Mitchell Trubisky from this organization based on the things that they've the way they've went about acquiring him. And then, two, you think about Matt Canada's offense, which is built around – having RPO, moving guys off platform. So I'm interested to see what his athleticism also lends itself in this quarterback battle. But it'll be an interesting one. I think this is up in the air, but I think Trubisky has the edge as of right now.
Yeah, and just in case you were wondering, Mr. Trubisky has said all the right things about Kenny Pickett. He said he knew that they would bring in a quarterback. He said that was the right thing to do from the draft to really strengthen that room. But, Tim, you heard Marcus mentioning some of it there. What does this offense look like with Trubisky or Pickett at quarterback? Because we are no longer in the Ben Roethlisberger era. This is going to look a lot different.
Yeah, listen, it's completely different than the Ben Roethlisberger era. And I would just say this, in terms of Marcus's point and what Adam's saying about Trubisky, I actually believe that Trubisky is more physically talented than Kenny Pickett. So whether it's Trubisky playing or whether it's Kenny Pickett playing, the truth is there's going to be way more quarterback movement. And look, I think Trubisky is more suited for true designed quarterback runs, which we've seen more of in the National Football League over the last 5 years or so. But both of these guys will be involved in more traditional move the pocket type stuff. So, you know, think of, you know, what the Vikings have done with Kirk Cousins or what San Francisco has done under Kyle Shanahan or McVay, you know, in with the Rams. The reality is more under the center play than we probably saw with Ben Roethlisberger, more traditional runs, more play action passing that comes off of it where the pocket gets moved. And that's a good thing, you know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's not going to be as much Ben Roethlisberger with everybody spread out in the shotgun just spitting the ball to the perimeter. I think that day has come and gone in terms of Pittsburgh offensively.
And Tim, I think they want to run the football, right? Last year they used their first round draft pick, Najee Harris, so they can feature Najee. And I think Mike Tomlin has talked about the fact that he wants a quarterback that can run the football as well, be more 2022. We've seen more and more quarterbacks be able to run. Maybe that's Mitchell Trubisky right now. Certainly it gives him an advantage heading into training camp. Not that Kenny Pickett can't run. We've seen him run. We've seen him dupe defenses before. But Mitchell Trubisky certainly can make some things happen with his legs that gives this offense or would give this offense an added dimension.
Yeah, the conversation is understandable from every angle, because I agree with Tim. They drafted Kenny Pickett, and based on Pittsburgh's history, they eventually want him to be the guy. Now, Mitchell Trubisky can have some say in that based on how he performs, and also reminding people that he was drafted very highly with a skill set that people thought would lend itself to the trends of where this NFL was going. So I think having this conversation is, I believe it's going to be one of the most interesting quarterback battles as we go throughout camp. I think both of these guys start from a spot where Pittsburgh is trying to determine, are they our future, as opposed to just getting through this year, which I think makes it super interesting. Kenny Pickett has legway as far as where they want to go going forward because of the draft pick, but Mitchell Trubisky was drafted highly, and what they may want to do, his skill set lends itself to that.
Yeah, guys, no matter who wins the quarterback job, though, this season for the Steelers, they got to play better in their offensive line. They had the second worst pass block win rate in the NFL last season. Let's get to some news here on NFL Live. Two women who have accused Deshaun Watson of inappropriate sexual conduct condemned the Cleveland Browns for giving the quarterback an NFL record $230 million guaranteed contract after trading for him. In their first national TV interview, which is set to air tonight, Ashley Solis said of the Browns on HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, "It's just like a big screw you. That's what it feels like, that we don't care. He can run and throw, and that's what we care about." Watson is facing 22 civil lawsuits from women who have accused him of inappropriate sexual conduct during massage sessions. Two grand juries in Texas have declined to pursue criminal charges, and Watson has denied all wrongdoing. But the NFL is investigating whether Watson violated its code of conduct policy and interviewed Watson in person last week. We'll continue to monitor this story here on NFL Live and bring you the latest as we know more. Coming up on the show, Bill Belichick was seen working with the offense yesterday. He hasn't named who will be calling plays for a young Patriots offense and Mac Jones. Our guys think that's asking for trouble. We'll explain. Plus, OTAs are underway for 28 teams with 9 beginning today, and a handful of star players have not been in attendance yet. Stay tuned to see why these OTAs are more important than you might think. That's next. NFL Live is brought to you by Obi-Wan Kenobi, 2-episode premiere streaming this Friday only on Disney+.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live today. Time to read and react to some of the best sound coming from OTAs this week. Aaron Rodgers is not at Packers OTAs. Here's Matt LaFleur on the situation.
I talked to him last night for a while, which is great. Just to kind of update him on just where we are and go over a few, like we do every off season. There's always tweaks to what you're doing, but no, he's in great spirits and it was a great conversation, but yeah, I wouldn't anticipate seeing him at least this week. Yeah, I think it's all on him. I mean, it's voluntary, so.
Marcus, Rodgers not at OTAs, but what are your expectations for the Packers this year?
I expect them to be a very good football team because of who their quarterback is, Boogie. But also, you think about the Green Bay Packers in the NFC, they're going to benefit from a conference that's a lot of unknowns outside of the Los Angeles Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I think the Saints will assert themselves. But Aaron Rodgers will build a rapport. He'll get these guys going, and they'll lean into this run game as well, as much as people don't want to hear.
No, I like it. They may need to. Devontae Adams is gone. Russell Wilson at OTAs with his new team, the Broncos. He said this about his return to Seattle week one on Monday Night Football.
Seattle's meant the world to me over the past 10 years. It's a special place. It's a special place to play, Lumen Field. You know, I have high regard for all those guys over there and what they do. I think for me, it's non-emotional, though. It's got to be non-emotional. You got to be able to go into it with understanding that it's just ball, you know. And also understand that there's been amazing times and thrown a lot of touchdowns there. I've won a lot of games there. So I got great experience and it'll always be a special place in my heart forever. And so, you know, for me, it's about going out there and trying to play the best football for our football team here and going to try to go win.
Come on, Tim. You believe Russell can really keep it non-emotional?
I think we clipped it too soon. I think he said, go Hawks right after that, Laura. I think.
Sure,
I'm not sure. Look, every player, when they play their former team, doesn't matter if they're a great player, which Russell Wilson certainly was in Seattle, it means more. It is emotional, and it's hard to control your emotions when that happens. That being said, like, if there is somebody that can, like, be a robot about this, it might be Russell Wilson, and I'm sure that he's probably doing things now that are preparing him to be unemotional for that football game.
I love it. That game right here on ESPN and ABC. Monday Night Football. Go Hawks! Oh, no. Hey, Justin Herbert and the Chargers will be facing some tough competition in the AFC West this season. Here's what the QB said about where the team is at compared to last year.
I think the biggest thing is understanding that we're miles ahead of where we were last year. Last year, you know, we were focusing on calling the right plays in the huddle and making sure everyone was lined up in the huddle and getting lined up on the field. But, you know, guys have tons of film to look back on last year, and we're farther ahead of where we thought we were going to be. And you know, it's always great to add those guys in. You know, we're adding a guard, we're adding another tight end. But those guys are smart and they're able to pick it up really quickly.
Size medium on the jersey there for Herbert. Marcus, what's the ceiling for the Chargers?
I think it's a Super Bowl contender, for real. And they'll play six playoff games within their own division, as good as the AFC West is. So they'll have a good reference point to when the playoffs come about. Look, Brandon Staley last year, I feel like, cost this team an opportunity to get to the playoffs at minimum. And then you look at this talent and what they acquired on the defensive side of the football, they got a real shot at getting it done.
Let's go to New England, where the Patriots have not named an offensive coordinator. Both Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are working with the offense. Here's Bill Belichick on the situation.
We have titles. Yeah, look, there's a lot of jobs that we have to do. We're all working on those things now. It's May. They'll change in June. They'll change in August. They'll change in September. So of all the do the things timely that we need to do. And if you're asking about game plans, we're like months away from that. Months. What plays are we calling? Oh, mini camp plays?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
So Mike Reese reported on our show yesterday that Bill Belichick's out there calling the offense. It is May, though. But, Tim, if there's one concern you have about this situation for Mac Jones specifically, what is it?
Well, my concern would be the quarterback play caller relationship, really. I mean, listen, I think we're all going to give a little deference to New England in terms of how they do things. It may be different, but the track record's been good. But I do believe, and it's been the case for really every successful quarterback I've ever been around, is that there's been a special relationship between the play caller and the quarterback in that when a play call comes in in a critical third and six, the quarterback knows why it's being called, or a shot play gets called early in a football game and it's not there. The quarterback knows, hey, he's calling this for a specific reason, but he's okay with me doing this with the football. And so, I think there are just elements of that where, when you are seeing the game the same way as the play caller, we've heard people say, the quarterback, an extension of the coaching staff out in the field. Like, that can really be the case. And that would be my only concern with how they're approaching this in New England.
Yeah, so much potential for Mac Jones. You just don't want to stunt that growth at all to that point. Marcus, let's talk about Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. Those are the guys working with the offense. Is that a good thing?
Hell no. And let me give an example, okay? Let me give an example of the days we live in. Tim Hasselbeck played quarterback in the NFL. He had play callers. He knows what the rapport is, and people will still say he don't know what he's talking about. That's what they'll say because you can't be right. You can't be right when it comes to this situation with the New England Patriots because Bill Belichick is the head coach. I do not give a damn. All right, all my experience in the NFL, every quarterback to a man that I've talked to have always talked about the offensive coordinator quarterback relationship and an unspoken language that they share throughout the course of a season being on the same page. It's difficult for it to work, especially with these two guys. Let me remind everybody, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are who we believe will be play callers for the New England Patriots. Why didn't Matt Patricia take over the abysmal play calling in Detroit? If he's an offensive play caller, why didn't Joe Judge take over an abysmal offense where he just left with the New York Giants? If he's a play caller and a guy that can have success, I need answers to these questions because both of these guys had an opportunity to lead programs, lead organizations, and now we supposed to sit in these seats and feel comfortable because Bill Belichick is there, that Matt Patricia and Joe Judge is going to groom a second-year quarterback that's in a division with a highly explosive offense and two that have the potential to be, and everybody's just supposed to be calm and easy peasy. I won't do it. Prove me wrong, New England, that this will work. I don't believe it will.
Well, let's see what they do. I mean, I will say this. It is May, okay, and Belichick was kind of laughing at all the questions he was getting. I'm going to throw one more thing in here because it's funny. The last time Bill Belichick held an offensive title was in 1977. He was a receivers coach for the Lions, and he was 25 years old at that time. I don't think he's going to be
cool,
really coaching the offense.
Don't know about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
But still, it's funny.
Come on, man.
Right.
Like, come on, man.
Coming up next on NFL Live, let's talk about Carson Wentz. He's the new QB in Washington, but is he set up for success with this new team? Marcus thinks Wentz has more talent around him than he's ever had in his career, but will that be enough? We'll get into it next on NFL Live. Tonight, we'll have Game 4 of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals on ESPN and the app. Hurricanes, Rangers from Madison Square Garden with the Canes up 2-1, and that one starts at 7 Eastern. Then the battle for Alberta rolls on between the Flames and Oilers, with the Oilers up 2-1. Do not miss the Stanley Cup playoffs right here on ESPN. Let's get back to OTAs underway across the NFL this week, including with the Washington Commanders. And Carson Wentz with another opportunity, a reminder, he will go on the road to play both his former teams, the Eagles and the Colts, this year as you see him out there working out with the guys. Here's head coach Ron Rivera with more on his new QB.
I think this is a good opportunity for Carson. I really do. I think he's a guy that's wanted. We want him here. We went out and traded for him. And we do expect some good things from him and for him. Very pleased with what we've got. And he's done a heck of a job.
Interesting endorsement there. We'll get back to that. Carson Wentz will have every opportunity to succeed in 2022 as the Commanders have put together an intriguing young group of wide receivers around him. Washington selected Jahan Dotson in the first round of last month's draft, pairing him up with Terry McLaurin, who, of course, is seeking a new contract as he enters the final year of his rookie deal. And we've seen this run on wide receiver deals. Curtis Samuel returns after being limited by injuries last season, and De'Ami Brown gives Wentz another deep threat. So, Marcus, with this cast around him offensively, what do we need to see out of Carson Wentz this season?
Yeah, I think he needs to be a facilitator more than anything, Boogie. We all know that Carson Wentz's biggest issue has been when he gets in critical situations, you can almost bet the house on a mistake. And when you look at that graphic we just put up with those young receivers, though, all of those guys with the ball in their hands are dynamic. And none may be more dynamic than Curtis Samuel, who's coming back off an injury. They have a really good run game. They have physical backs on the back end. Here's the issue that everybody runs into with Carson Wentz. 2 years ago with Phillip Rivers, the Indianapolis Colts went to the playoffs. They missed the playoffs with Carson Wentz on pretty much the same team. So where do you attribute this to? Yes, I know that the defense played bad when he was in Indy against the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I don't believe a quarterback that we should hold in regard loses that game. They find a way to win that football game. So the Commanders bet on Carson Wentz. I believe he has to facilitate at a very high level and not make those critical mistakes when the defense is on the line, or you have to have a play being made, and that will suffice. I don't know what the future will hold, but I hope that Carson Wentz understands that the ball delivery, great decisions, and if you're in trouble, man, throw it in the third row in the stands and punt the football. I hope that's what is being preached to him.
Yeah, Marcus, I'm glad you brought up, the kind of the fizzle to the end of the season last year, because when you look at Carson Wentz's numbers and you think, well, he's, throws in the mid-20s in terms of touchdowns, did a pretty good job of protecting the football. He eliminated some of the mistakes that you'd seen him make his last year in Philadelphia. And so people thought, hey, look, there's improvement there. But that's not good enough. It isn't. And I think the things that matter for Carson in terms of if he's a starter going beyond 2022 are the moments, and then in terms of the magnitude of the game, down three, going into half, on the road against Dallas, can you get in field goal range and kick a field goal? Or can you bring back some of those special moments that we saw when you were playing at an MVP level in Philadelphia, earlier in your career? Look, we went back and watched some of these earlier today, and it's remarkable. I mean, a free runner against Chicago, and next thing Carson Wentz is turning it into a 25-yard gain. There were times where you thought, wow, like he's doing this at a level that other quarterbacks in the league are not doing it at. Then we said, okay, hey, now, just eliminate the mistakes and we'll be okay with that. I don't think that's good enough for Carson. I think he needs to play well above the X's and O's, make the people around him significantly better, and play huge in the moments that matter the most, so when they go back and look at it at the end of the year, they like what they saw.
Tim, you see that video, it's a good reminder. I think some of us forget exactly what that looked like. We're referring all the way back to 2017, how great he really was, trying to capture any of that magic. How about Terry McLaurin, though, Adam? Because he's looking for the new deal. We're talking about that. And where does he stand with the Commanders right now?
Well, Laura, you mentioned the run on wide receiver deals this offseason. We've seen so many big wide receiver deals given to Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs and then A.J. Brown after he gets traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Terry McLaurin is in the next tier of wide receivers that wants to and likely will get paid. DK Metcalf is there. The Niners want to pay Deebo Samuel. Terry McLaurin's out there. There's a whole group here of wide receivers that are going to get new deals. Washington wants to get a deal done. It recognizes not only the talent that Terry McLaurin is and has, but the type of character that he brings to that locker room and that organization. They want to keep him in Washington long term. They'd like to get a deal done, and it would not surprise me if at some point the two sides figured out a way to get that done.
Yeah, Adam, it's going to be interesting to see who is the next domino to fall in some of these wide receiver deals that we expect to be redone, these guys that we expect to get paid more money. Let's get to some more news as all these OTAs are going on, but also league meetings going on this week. Roger Goodell expected to speak soon. We'll bring you that when it happens. In the meantime, though, here's Jeremy Fowler with more on the big theme there over the last couple days. You just saw Robert Kraft. What's the latest, Jeremy?
The NFL's Diversity Accelerator program gave more than 60 future GM and head coaching candidates exactly what they wanted: FaceTime with NFL owners. They just spent 2 days interacting with the likes of Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones over meetings and mixers. And turns out Detroit Lions defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn learned something priceless.
This event was outstanding. And I'm going to start out with getting a chance to see Mr. Rooney, Mr. Blank, Ms. Pegula. And you know what? There's not a lot of differences. Only difference, their bank account's bigger than mine. But other than that, not a lot of differences.
NFL owners hope these new connections with candidates produce stronger diversity numbers. Both Arthur Blank and Art Rooney admit the NFL is falling short, especially at head coach. And they did make one tweak to the hiring process this week. Now teams must wait until after wildcard weekend to interview a head coaching candidate employed by another team. Back to you, Laura.
Thank you, Jeremy. Important information there. And Adam back with us here. Two other notes of interest emerging from those league meetings. Take us through those, Adam.
Yeah, a couple of them, Laura. First of all, the Pro Bowl, the future of it is in question. Not that we didn't already know that, but the league is trying to figure out and continues to try to figure out the best way to handle that game that's become a real exhibition. It still draws TV ratings and people still watch, but it doesn't come off the way the league would like it to in any particular year. And today, of course, also the league announced that the Indianapolis Scouting Combine would be kept in Indianapolis for the next 2 years. The contract with the Combine was coming up, but it's two more years in Indianapolis, which is a great host for that particular event. It's an ideal site, a lot of medical testing, everybody in close proximity. The city works out very well. Yeah. There have been some discussion given to Dallas, Los Angeles, but for the next 2 years at least, it will be back in Indianapolis.
As our Field Yates said, it belongs in Indy. I'm glad to see that happen. We got more coming your way here on NFL Live. Another edition of Get That Bag. This time, Marcus, we're headed to the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, Boogie, I got some hate and disdain that I didn't have any offensive guys, so I got one. But I still stay true to who I am. Y'all find out when y'all get back. Jeffrey Simmons and obviously Devin White already got to get that bag. I got to add one more to the party.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll have Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and Heat tomorrow night at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Now that the series is even, the Countdown crew gets things started at 7:30 Eastern. Time now for an NFL Live staple with Marcus Spears. Get that bag. Who's next for a big payday, Swagoo?
It's time for me to go to the other side of the ball, and I'm going to add my man Quentin Nelson from the Indianapolis Colts. Listen, we all know that Q Nelson is a beast on the offensive line for the Indianapolis Colts. He paved the way for Jonathan Taylor, who was a phenomenal back and rushing for yards all over the place. And you see the big fella, he's a role grader. He protects the quarterback at a very high level. That's why we couldn't figure out why the Indianapolis Colts couldn't make the playoffs last year. But with the big fella on the offensive line, he is what you call an anchor. He is what you call a future Hall of Famer is who Quentin Nelson is. It's time for him to get that bag. So, Q, when you go into that front office and you talk to Ursay, who just bought a guitar from Kurt Cobain for $4.5 million, you make sure he times that times 10 and give you your bag, big fella.
Woo! Hey, is there real money in there? Is that money? Is there? What's
in there?
Let me
see. Let me see.
Yeah, open up that bag.
Nah, Boogie, you know I don't want people at my house. Oh. I don't want people trying to come rob me. It looked like
Wait,
real
that
money.
Looked real,
but
though.
It's called prop money.
Okay,
it looked
it's a
real.
Prop.
It looked real.
No. Well,
but
not,
America, it ain't. It's prop money. Don't run up in here. I'm going to have some.
Don't be trying to, Tim, don't try to take
can't
that to the grocery store.
Can't hide that first round money, Laura. Marcus can't hide that first round money. Can't do it. Hey.
Getting that bread.
I'm just happy. Hey, I'm just happy he's giving some love to the offensive linemen. Some of that stuff that Q does is a little disrespectful to those D linemen. I see it, Marcus, giving some good love where it's deserved.
I hear it. Tim, I heard the people and I responded. Yeah. I heard the people and I responded.
Also, Tim, it's because it's May, and so he was like, let me just sneak in a little offensive guy here while maybe he thinks people aren't paying attention. But
great point.
We saw it. We saw it. All right,
great
28
point.
Teams around the league in OTAs. Let's hit some of the storylines out there. We begin with Kyler Murray and everything going on out there. Adam, we start with you. What's going on with Kyler Murray in Arizona?
Well, Lord, no. Kyler Murray at the OTAs for the Arizona Cardinals. The contract talks between the two sides have been and continue to be quiet, and it sounds like until there's some sort of new contract, we will not be seeing Kyler Murray, who is scheduled to make $5 million this upcoming season in a quarterback market that has exploded some.
Tim, is it a big deal that Kyler isn't there?
I mean, listen, from the, how much the team improves, no. But in terms of a leadership perspective, I do think it's a big deal. Here's a player who the team wants long term. And he should want to be there with kind of the fit in terms of head coach, who they've surrounded him with. And so, yeah, I think there's an element here where the leadership that he would have the opportunity to show through a contract situation would be a good thing for him to be there.
Let's go to Michael Thomas in New Orleans. Adam, what's going on there?
He is at the start of the Saints OTAs. Laura didn't play all last year, coming off that ankle surgery. But they get Michael Thomas back. They have Jarvis Landry. They drafted Chris Olave. So the wide receivers in New Orleans should be vastly improved and give Jameis Winston the types of outlets that he'd be looking for this year. New Orleans is going to be dramatically improved at the wide receiver position this season.
Tim, how good can this Saints offense be with Thomas, the addition of Jarvis Landry, and you heard Olave and some of the other players that Adam just mentioned?
Yeah, but potentially one of the top offenses in the entire league, and that's saying a lot when you think about, you know, where Jameis Winston has come from. Look, I think it would almost be fair to say, like, the biggest question mark, maybe is it Alvin Kamara? Will he bounce back? Hmm. But as versatile as he is, the receivers that have been mentioned, and then Jameis, who looks like he's learned from taking that year to watch Breeze in terms of how to protect the football, they could be great.
I love to see it. Can't wait to see what Jameis Winston does. Obviously, the Saints think they're going to be really good based on the moves they've made. Some would argue, though, that Tua Tagovailoa has the most pressure of any QB in the NFL on him heading into next season after the Dolphins have assembled what looks like one of the most dynamic offenses in the league. Well, Tyreek Hill talked about catching passes from Tua.
Tua actually has, you know, probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life. So he's very catchable. I don't want to continue because the more I talk, the more it sounds weird. So Tua is a very accurate quarterback. That's all I'm going to say.
You know, I can relate. The more I talk, the more it sounds weird. Good catch there, Tyreek. But either way, good news to hear from the Tua Tagovailoa perspective, Marcus, on how it seems that connection is evolving.
Yeah.
With all the pressure that's on Tua, what do you think it means to hear one of his new receivers come out this way in support?
It's good. It's good because players are the most honest when they're around you every day. And guys are not going to have glowing remarks if you out there sucking. That's just the way it is. Now, they're not going to talk about you bad, but it's also a part of what Tua has to go through, his maturation process, getting him weapons. He had a lot of success with Jalen Waddle, albeit all passes not downfield, but it was a very productive connection between him and Waddle. Now you get Tyreek Hill, the most explosive wide receiver in the NFL with the ball in his hands, giving you a glowing endorsement, telling America that the ball is easy to catch and you like the way Tua is putting it in your hands. So, look, I have all of the confidence in the world that the Miami Dolphins have surrounded Tua Tagovailoa with everything that he needs to have success, including a left tackle that they gave $80 million. I look forward to seeing him have success.
Look, I think Tua, in many respects, has been kind of unfairly judged and criticized. When you think about how he came into the league, he was coming off of a massive hip injury that they weren't sure was going to heal. They weren't even sure he was going to throw on his pro day. People talking about, hey, his rookie year, they're just going to redshirt him. That was the COVID season. And so, you know, he's kind of in a situation where Ryan Fitzpatrick plays better than he does that year. Then there's a change at offensive coordinator. I think it's clear now that there was dysfunction in the organization. So I do think that while there is a ton of pressure on Tua to perform because of the supporting cast, a new coach that will have, you know, kind of a quarterback-friendly system for him, the reality is, like, I think this is also his really first shot to have success based on what he walked into and how he walked into it.
Yeah, it's a really great, very well said point there, Tim. I think a lot of people don't remember that context and the COVID year being a big piece of that, not necessarily the interaction he would have gotten otherwise. Also, a little piece of advice to Tyreek Hill, just say football. It works better than anything else. Next on NFL Live, should Lamar Jackson step on the field at OTAs without a contract extension? Someone here says yes. Someone says absolutely not. We're going to dive into that next on NFL Live. We'll be right back.
Lamar Jackson, he fooled everybody.
Lamar Jackson is a cheat code.
Action Jackson.
Touchdown.
I got you, buddy. Trust.
Touchdown, Ravens.
He escapes. Dart over to the left.
He shakes it.
Lamar Jackson.
I got DM West. Still got to pick it up.
We want him. He wants us.
Time will come about that.
Lamar Jackson is a cheat code. I'm not sure if you could put it any better than that as we welcome you back here to NFL Live. Of course, a lot of questions around Lamar Jackson and what will happen with his contract. The renegotiation hangs in the balance. So, Adam, I want to start with you. What do we know about this situation?
Well, Laura, he has acted as his own agent, has not used an agent, and some people said last year that wasn't a good idea. Now, it turned out the fact of the matter is quarterback salaries this offseason went straight up. And so the fact that he didn't use an agent last season turned out to work out to his advantage. But now he still is not doing a deal. He's scheduled to make $23 million this year. We talked yesterday, Marcus and I, about how it would be financially irresponsible for Kyler Murray to play the season for $5 million. Well, Lamar Jackson is making $23 million on a fifth-year option in this quarterback market where many top quarterbacks are making $40 or $50 million a year. And so that's a decision that he himself has to make. He obviously is prepared and willing to play without a contract extension and bet on himself. And we'll see how the strategy plays itself out.
All right. So, Tim, Adam thinks financially irresponsible for Lamar Jackson to show up. But what do you think? Should Lamar not show up to OTAs?
Yeah, no, I would disagree with that. You know, in terms of showing up for OTAs, you know, again, like, when you're in his situation, you can do what you want. If you feel like there's a while you're at OTAs, if you feel like there's a drill or a team drill or something like that, that you don't want people around your feet, then you don't do it. And there's not going to be any pushback because of it. And if he is willing to play this season, which it appears that he is on his, you know, fifth year option, then why wouldn't you be there? I mean, you know, to getting ready for it, getting the passing reps, you know, in 7-on-7 drills, things like that, that quite honestly will benefit him as a player because it's an area where he can really improve. I just think this, and let me be clear, I'm all for players getting paid as much as they can get paid, as fast as they can get paid. But I also think that there's an element with some of these quarterbacks to understand that it has to come with patience. Look, Dak Prescott was making like $750,000 playing, you know, as the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Like, it was the biggest bargain in sports for multiple years. And he got hurt playing. It still worked out. And so I think that there is an element for whether it's Kyler, whether it's Lamar, where if you're going to play, you know, and you're going to get to that point where you're going to find a year of your deal, you're eventually going to be rewarded. We've seen it happen.
Yeah, look, me and Shefty talked about it yesterday, as he alluded to, and each particular situation is not the same, all right? The Aaron Rodgers not being at OTAs is very different than Lamar Jackson not being there. Lamar not being there is very different than Kyler for different reasons. Kyler has some leeway to make as far as establishing himself as the leader on that football team. That's why I think it's irresponsible for him not to be there. In Lamar's situation, we've seen this team, and not only have we seen them have success on the field, this team and how they respond to Lamar Jackson, the seemingly open lines of communication that he has with the front office. Lamar has made no gripe about his contract. It may be some on the background, but publicly, I haven't seen him say anything about the Baltimore Ravens not being willing to negotiate or give him a new deal. And then the other part is Lamar Jackson is coming back to a system that's proven and it works, and he understands everything that he's going to be asked to do. I don't feel like that's the same with Kyler Murray without DeAndre Hopkins being in this offense for the first 6 weeks of the season. So this is an entirely different situation. I feel like if Lamar wanted to be there, yes, it's always great to have your quarterback in the facility, but this is a different situation for me.
And Marcus, to that point, the flip side of this, of course, is that we see players play out their contracts. We rarely see quarterbacks play out their contracts. When Kirk Cousins did it, it worked out very well. When Dak Prescott did it, it worked out very well. And so while we may think it'd be wise for Lamar to get a deal wrapped up, it's worked out very well for the quarterbacks who have played it to the end. And that very well may be Lamar Jackson's strategy here, because if he were to reach true free agency, well, you could write a check for whatever you want at that point in time if you're Lamar Jackson.
Listen, I mean, to that point, Lamar Jackson tweeted an hour ago, he quote tweeted the Baltimore Ravens saying first day of OTA action. He said, can't wait to get back. And there's rocket ships in his tweet. So Lamar's probably thinking about those rocket ships to the moon. There's the tweet right there of the potential money he could make. And of course, he's got bigger goals, wants to win a Super Bowl with this team as well. Staying in the AFC North with one of the Ravens' biggest rivals, Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Burrow torched the Ravens last season en route to becoming the first player in NFL history with multiple 400-yard passing games against the same team in a season. That includes a 525-yard performance against Baltimore in Week 16, the fourth most passing yards in a game in NFL history. On the Full Send podcast, Burrow did not hold back when explaining why he likes to play the Ravens.
I love playing the Ravens.
Just had two crazy games last year.
Yeah, I love playing the Ravens because they talk.
They talk a lot?
They talk. I love that.
I feel like the score was 47, like 20.
It was a lot too little. Yeah, I threw for 520 something in the second one, and I threw for 400 and something in the first one. Yeah, I love playing the Ravens. They like to talk. And so when I don't start the talking, but I usually, if somebody, you know, pokes me, I can talk a little bit.
Poking that Burrow bear. Watch out. Marcus, what do you think about the comments there? He's not lacking in confidence for sure.
Listen, everybody knows how much I love Joe Burrow, but this ain't the tree you want to climb, bro. This league is very unforgiving. And what you did last year don't have a damn thing to do with what's coming this year. Mm. And the Baltimore Ravens having 16 dudes on IR played into some of your success on the football field. So I'll talk your noise, but just be ready for the Baltimore Ravens to respond.
Go, Adam.
Yeah. There were teams that used to talk about Tim, but he would never be able to do anything about it. So that was very interesting during the course of his career as well.
Oh, man.
I really missed you, Adam. I really missed you.
Oh, way to end. Golly,